ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नास्तप्रैश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 24 वर्स 46। आत्मनाम सर्वभूतेषु भगवन्तम् अवस्थितम् अपाश्यत् सर्वभूतानि भगवती अपि चात्मनि। आत्मनं सर्वभूतेषु भगवन्तम् अवस्थितम् अपाश्यत् सर्वभूतानि भगवती अपि चात्मनि। आत्मनं सर्वभूतेषु भगवन्तम् अवस्थितम् अपाश्यत् सर्वभूतानि भगवती अपि चात्मनि। आत्मनाम द सुपर सोल सर्वभूतेषु इन ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स भगवन्तम् द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड अवस्थितम् सिचुएटेड अपश्यत् ही सॉ सर्वभूतानि ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स भगवती इन द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड अपि मोर ओवर च एंड आत्मनि ऑन द सुपर सोल। Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He began to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seated in everyone's heart and that everyone is existing on Him because He is the Super Soul of everyone. So please repeat. He began to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seated in everyone's heart and that everyone is existing on Him because He is the Super Soul of everyone. Purport. That everyone is existing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not mean that everyone is also Godhead. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Everything is resting on Him, the Supreme Soul, Supreme Lord. But that does not mean that the Supreme Lord is also everywhere. This mysterious position has to be understood by highly advanced devotees. There are three kinds of devotees: the neophyte devotee, the intermediate devotee, and the advanced devotee. The neophyte devotee does not understand the techniques of devotional service, but simply offers devotional service to the deity in the temple. The intermediate devotee understands who God is, who is a devotee, who is a non-devotee, and who is innocent. And he deals with such persons differently. But the person who sees that the Lord is sitting as Paramatma in everyone's heart and that everything is depending or existing on the transcendental energy of the Supreme Lord is in the highest devotional position. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदामयं ददाति स्वः अगन्तिकम्। Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
He began to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seated in everyone's heart and that everyone is existing on Him because He is the Super Soul of everyone. So here Srila Prabhupada is talking about three kinds of devotees: the neophyte devotee, the intermediate devotee and the advanced devotee. And another point Srila Prabhupada is mentioning is how everyone is existing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that does not mean that everyone is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see this section now, it's the end of the pastime of Kardama Muni. He is leaving and Kapil Muni is going to instruct in the next chapter. And he has already renounced the family life. And now he's at the end where he's seeing, he has perfected his life. He's seeing everyone as, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this verse. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi, Hastini Sunichena Swapakesha, Pandita Samadarshina. So he has already, Sthita Pragna platform, he has already achieved that. Where he's seeing everything as one. Not in the sense that everything is merging into Supreme, but everything is, he is seeing Paramatma in each and every living entity. And this kind of a vision only comes also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dvesho Astina Priyaya Ye Bhajanti Tu Mam Bhakta Maite Teshu Chapiyam, that he is also equal to everyone. He does not envy anyone or does not, he is not partial to anyone. But who is a friend to him? He is also a friend and he is within him. So again, Krishna is mentioning the same point here. But when Krishna says he is within him, doesn't mean that the devotee merges into the Lord. Prabhupada gives a very elaborate purport on these verses, especially putting in the emphasis that this verses does not mean that one merges into, because this is a very common understanding in today's world. There are two biggest problems in devotional life which stops people from performing devotion service. The first one is atheism, where people don't believe in God. And the second one is impersonalism. But atheism is not as much as a threat as much as impersonalism, because person in impersonalism thinks he is doing devotional service, but actually he is not. And we see the biggest problem today is everything is becoming impersonal. I remember when I was a kid, on the festival days we used to go to visit all the relatives to wish them a new year or Diwali. We used to, 2 days, we used to go in car to all the places, all the distant families, and we used to personally go and wish them. And then the time came where telephones were introduced. What happened then? For 2 days, we only used to go for 1 day to the nearby relatives, and the distant family, we used to call them up. We cannot come, so treat this as our personal meeting. And then the time came internet, where you don't even go to most of the people. You just send emails. From when I came here, the only communication that I had with my friends was by email, because telephones were very expensive. International telephones were very expensive. So emails were the only communication chain. And today what happens? We all have got smartphones. We gather all the groups, relatives, into one WhatsApp group, and happy Diwali. So what is that? That is impersonalism. We don't have any personal touch with any of our relatives. If you want to wish someone, put them everyone into one group, or send a message to everyone, put them in one group and just send one message. It's like broadcasting in networking terms, it is called. You send it to everyone, whoever gets it, gets it. Whoever has time, read it at your own convenience. There is no personal touch today. And this is what is happening. If you go to schools today, they have introduced iPads right from 5th grade. So in primary schools, if you go during lunchtime, you will see some kids playing because they don't have iPads. But in secondary schools, if you go, you will not. The grounds are empty these days. Everyone is sitting in the corner. In one hand, they are having lunch, and in the other hand, they are having iPad, playing on iPads. So the grounds are becoming vacant now. So people are just becoming self-centered. All this technology, everything is just making everyone self-centered. And this is the cause of impersonalism. There is no personal relationship between. And you see in US, every day there is at least one child will kill some of the other colleagues. Until these days, if a student or a kid in school does not kill more than 5 people, it does not even make into the news. Because 1 or 2 people killing is normal there, every day. If they kill 5 or more, then they make it up to the news. That is the news. So this is the condition that people are in. They cannot tolerate. They've lost the tolerance. If somebody cannot provide me the environment, the self-centered environment that I am in, then I am not happy. And what is the result of this? In US, everybody has got a gun in their home. They take the gun, the kids just take the gun, go and kill the other kid or teacher. So this is the biggest impersonalism that we are seeing these days. So impersonalism has become, and that is why Prabhupada targets impersonalism. As soon as he gets a chance, he will target. He said, just make sure you are not getting onto this path, because impersonalism is covered atheism. It's covered theism. So people think they are doing devotional service, but they are not. In Ishopanishad it is said, it is spiritual suicide. One is committing suicide. Atmahan, yes. One is killing his own soul. So here we see this impersonalism. So there are 3 phases in Bhagavatam. It is mentioned, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, Tattvam Yaj Jnanam Yadvayam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Sabdete. So even the devotees understand, depending on their levels, they understand there is a difference between Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Those who are just having those who are the students of Vedas or Upanishads, they come to the level of Brahman. The yogis come to the level of Paramatma, but the devotees are the one who understand who Bhagavan is, who's the personal feature of Bhagavan is. And Bhagavatam, from the very first, very very beginning itself, it rejects, actually the first verse itself, it rejects, it establishes who Krishna is. And in the second verse itself, it says dharma projito kaitava. So it rejects the kaitava dharma and establishes that vedyam vastuvam atra vastu. It says who is the vastu, who is the vastam, who is the factual vastu, substance. And even Krishna says, one who understands this vastu, janma karma chamedivyam evam yoveti tatvata. So one who understands the tattva of Krishna, he is eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So the whole point of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam or performing devotional service is to understand who Krishna is, what the actual substance is, coming out of impersonalism. That's to differentiate that impersonal Brahman is not the absolute truth. Vedas teaches us only Traigunya, Vishaya, Veda. So Vedas are in the modes of three. They are in the three modes of material nature. Either they are in tamas, rajas, or sattva gun. So we have to understand they only teach those who are followers of the Vedas. They can only one involves like they mention three paths. The first path is to how to perform fruitive activities and come to the platform of higher, go to higher planetary systems, or how to perform devotion to the worship of the demigods and go to their abode. And the third one which Vedas teach is how to realize the absolute truth and this impersonal feature and becoming one with the Lord. But to understand devotees understand that this is not the goal. This is not the goal. So when Vyasadev created all the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, he created this Purana, which is Bhagavat Purana, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, because it directly deals with the Lord himself and devotional service of the Lord. Without understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not possible that we can understand Lord. So it is very important that we... So that is what Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about Janma and Karma of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita gives us the personal aspect of the Lord. And that is why these two scriptures are very important. So who are the people who come to... Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Vidya Bhajante Mam, Jana Supritino Arjuna, Artho Jignasur, Arthati Jnanischa Bharata Sabha. So Artho, Arthati, Jnani and Jignasur, these are the four kinds of people who come to Lord, who approach the Lord. But from Bhagavatam, from Nectar of Devotion, there are mentioned these four kinds of people who in Bhagavatam it is mentioned Gajendra was in distress and he came to the Lord. We all know this. Dhruva Maharaj was in need of wealth and he came to the Lord. Sonaka Rishi was inquisitive, and four Kumaras were the Gnanis who became all perfect when they came in touch with the Lord or his devotees. But how can we? So there is one thing. Krishna says that these people are not pure devotees because they come with a desire. So how can, and what is the definition of pure devotional service given by Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami? Anya abhilashita sunyam, gnana karmadi anavritam. So how can we come from desirous state? We are all, so if Gajendra, Dhruva Maharaj, Sonakarishi, four Kumaras are categorized into the non-pure devotees before, what is our qualification? Right. So how can we come from that desirous state to the Anya Abhilashita Sunyam stage? And I just came across the verse, how can we see, how we can get the association of the Lord or his devotees? And in the beginning of this canto, third canto, Brahma is offering prayers to the Lord, where he's saying, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Rita Sroja Asesha Srutekshita Srutekshita Pato Nanu Natha Pumsam. So here Brahma is saying, oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through ears. You must have already done this because it was in the beginning of third canto, ninth chapter, 11th verse. So your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. So this is the main process by which one can understand Lord. How? By hearing. And then Lord Brahma mentions, and thus their heart becomes cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. And the two words in this verse are very important. Srutekshita, by hearing you can see the Lord.
And the second one is Sat Anugraha, to show mercy. You show your causeless mercy to this devotee. So how we can Shrutekshita, how we can get this mercy of the Lord by Shrutekshita? First thing, in the 64 items of devotional service that are mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, the first 5 items that Srila Rupa Goswami gives. So there are, in 64 items, the first 10 are the primary, the second 10 are the secondary, and the 44 are the other items Rupa Goswami mentions of devotional service, of sadhana bhakti one should practice. In the first primary 10 items, the first 5 items Srila Rupa Goswami gives is accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. The second one he says, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. The third one he says, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. The fourth one he says, following the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. And the fifth one he says, inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So you see, all these 5 are basically telling you what? Accept the spiritual master. Krishna also says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti tegnanam gnaninas tatva darshina. Approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. So this is the most important point which can take us from desirous stage. So there are 9 stages of bhakti, we all know that, right? The first stage is Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajan Kriya, Anath Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava and Prema. So how can we come from Shraddha or Sadhu, Shraddha level to Anath Nivritti or Bhava level? It is only through the Sadhu Sangha, by approaching the spiritual master. So this is the most important point. If we are always guided by our spiritual master, then we will not be baffled, or we will not be under the influence of impersonalism, which is the biggest disease today. So one has to come in contact with the spiritual master. This is the most important point. So a qualified, bona fide spiritual master, yes. And what happens, then the Lord reveals himself, the causeless mercy. So we see, it is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion that sadhana, when is performing, there are 2 kinds of sadhana, right? One is Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. So from Vaidhi sadhana bhakti to Raganuga sadhana bhakti, one comes, and then there is Bhava bhakti and Prema bhakti. So actually, Jiva Goswami again categorizes them as sadhana bhakti and sadhya bhakti. He says Bhava and Prema are just sadhya bhakti, because they don't, they are not, sadhana cannot create Bhava. When one performs sadhana, it's by his own endeavor. There are 2 things which are required while performing sadhana. One is endeavor and mercy, mercy of the Lord and devotees. But for bhava, it's not like endeavor and mercy. It is only mercy of the Lord. So that is why Jiva Goswami categorizes it as sadhya bhakti, when one is perfect. But again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no, it is because bhava one can be in the material world, in his material body. But prema is separate. One is perfected in the Siddhadeya. So that is why he is, again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no, this is separate. It is still, there is sadhana, bhava and prema, they are separate. But we see how we can achieve this stage, how we can perfect our stage. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us different pastimes. Also, it gives different narrations of the, when we go from the first canto to 9th canto, and then when we come to the 10th canto, we see when one reads 10th canto, there is nothing impersonal in 10th canto. When you go through the 10th canto, in the spiritual, it talks about the spiritual world. In spiritual world, everything is personal, everything is living, everything is conscious. There are pastimes where Mother Yashoda is churning the butter for Krishna. And in that it is mentioned, when Mother Yashoda is churning butter, she wakes up early in the morning and collects the milk from the best of the cows, Padmagandha cows, and is churning, and she's humming, she's singing the songs of the glories of the Lord, and they are spontaneous songs, they are not like somebody has written it. No, spontaneous songs she is singing. And at that time, the ukhala is the churning rod. Churning rod is making the sound, and the churning rod is making a sound like a mridanga. It sounds like mridanga, very sweet mridanga, and which goes in the background as the singing. It's not out of tune. It is in sync with the bangles are making the sound, the earrings, the bangles, they are making the sound of a kartal. And it's all in sync with the singing of Mother Yashoda. So everything in spiritual world is personal. Even the milk which is boiling, it is thinking, Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna milk. So what is my use? It goes and commits suicide in the fire. So that is, even the milk is conscious. And then there is a competition. We think only material world, here there is a competition. No, there is a bigger competition going on there. And because there is competition, we can see some little bit of competition here. The devotees are competing with each other. Who is the best of the devotee? Not in the mood of envy, but in the mood of love to please the Lord. So when Mother Yashoda is feeding breast milk to Krishna, the milk in sitting on the cooktop is thinking, what is my use when Krishna is going to be satisfied with the milk by Mother Yashoda? Let me go and commit suicide. So this is competition going. The milk from the breast is trying to satisfy Krishna, and Krishna, who is like the Lord of the universe, right, is not being satisfied. So there is a competition between the hunger of Krishna and then the milk of coming from the breast of Mother Yashoda. So there is continuous competition going on in spiritual world. We are currently reading 21st chapter of 10th canto in our Bhagavatam study. And there Kesha Prabhu was very nicely explaining how this is a chapter where it's called Venu Gita, the song of the flute of Krishna. And before that there is a chapter where autumn and rainy seasons are explained in Vrindavan. So it is said like the rainy season is like the dark clouds which are covering the living entity. In Vrindavan, when there are dark clouds covering Vrindavan, it is like our anarthas. And when the rainy season goes, autumn season comes. And what happens in autumn? Everything becomes, the roads become clear because of the rains which are poured down. The rains which are poured down and cleared the clouds. So the clouds which were black before, now they are white. And when they are white, what happens? The sunlight is reflected through them and it is bright and sunny. And the white clouds in the blue sky look very beautiful. So it is mentioned in that chapter, 20th chapter, how when our anarthas are gone, we will be like those clear clouds. And it is mentioned, different devotees, as Prabhupada is mentioning, there are different levels of devotees. So in different ashrams, so Brahmacharya has got, in that chapter, Prabhupada gives this analogy of how different ashramas, a Brahmachari has got his problems because he has to go through all the menial activities which he might not like to do. So at that stage, in the beginning, in the rainy season stage, he has to go through different activities. He has to work hard. He might not want to do those activities, but he has to do that. The Grahastha has to fulfill the desires of family and children, right? Wife and children, which he might not like to do. A vanprastha has to go through so many pains in the body and has to do hard work. And the sannyasis, it is mentioned, the biggest problem is because of loneliness and because of his studying, he can easily become diverted to impersonalism. So these are the four problems in the four ashrams. But it is mentioned when the autumn season comes, when one goes through that season in Vrindavan, when autumn season comes means when Krishna is out grazing the cows in the fields. So when Krishna enters our life, the Brahmachari becomes automatically elevated and he's been given good position so that he can perform his devotional service and bhajan constantly. A grahastha automatically arranges the modes of nature, make arrangements so that he does not have to work hard and he can concentrate, he can indulge in devotional life. A vanaprastha is promoted. He becomes self-realized and he can perform his devotional service. And the sannyasi is given opportunity to preach, so that he preaches and then he becomes, he is not distracted by impersonalism. So he engages into preaching. So this is the analogy given in that chapter. So autumn, rainy and autumn season in Vrindavan. So when autumn season comes, when Lord is established within the heart of a devotee, it purifies his existence, whatever ashram or varna he is in. So, and then in 21st chapter, which is Venu Gita, there is a very nice, beautiful explanation. It is mentioned, Vrindavan competes with the Lord. Vrindavan is none different than Lord himself. The first expansion of the Lord is Lord Balaram. And Balaram expands himself as Vrindavan. So everything in Vrindavan, it is mentioned, Vrindavan makes itself so enchanting. It's like the boy seeing in the mirror. Krishna is enchanted to such a degree. It's like a boy, the kid, looking in the mirror for the first time. I'm pretty sure some of you might have realized when you were a kid, you looked into the mirror and you were amazed. Oh, he looks like me. And you move your hand or head or you make faces. Right? Or you might have seen some kids doing that. So this is how Krishna looks at Vrindavan. Krishna looks at Vrindavan. How come it is so beautiful? And he becomes enchanted, he becomes attracted to that. So this is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is directly the internal potency. It's a Madhura Dham. There are three dhams, right? Mayapur, Puri and Vrindavan. Mayapur is Audharya Dham. Puri is Aishwarya Dham. And Vrindavan is Madhura Dham. Madhura means, actually Vrindavan is Audharya as well as Aishwarya is there. But the Madhurya component is so high that those two are not even considered. It's sweeter, and everything in Vrindavan is sweet. So when Krishna starts playing his flute, it is mentioned in that chapter, all the doves, they just stop, they become stunned. The trees, they begin to vibrate, the leaves and everything becomes in symphony. Again, it's like a symphony. When Krishna plays his flute, everything, the whole of Vrindavan starts to play music, different music in the background. The rivers stop flowing and the waves of the rivers try to touch the feet of the Lord. And Krishna has got 64 qualities. All the other Vishnu avatars maximum have got 60 qualities. But Krishna has got 4 qualities, which are Venu Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri and Prema Madhuri. So this Venu Madhuri, when Krishna plays his flute, all the Leela, Rupa and Prema goes into the flute and through the sound comes out. And as soon as anyone hears this sound, they just become stunned. It is mentioned those who are moving become immovable and those who are immovable become moving. So as soon as the gopis hear the sound of this flute, they become stunned and they cannot help themselves. They just rush to see. They don't care for anything else. They just rush to see the Lord. So this is the power. Everything in spiritual world, even the sound, is conscious. Everything is personal. So if you are reading Bhagavatam, if you study Bhagavatam, one cannot come to the impersonal conception. It's not possible. And when one approaches Bhagavatam right category, as we go every day Bhagavatam, we go through verse by verse, from first canto to second, third, fourth, ninth canto and tenth canto. When we come to tenth canto and we go through this, it is just mind-blowing actually. It's amazing. Some things are mentioned there is we have never experienced. We cannot even understand how is it possible. It's just amazes us. And when you read this, you cannot come to the conclusion that it is impersonal. There is no impersonal conception here. Everything is personal. So, the only way, summarizing, so the only way one can go from impersonal aspect of the Lord to the personal aspect of the Lord is by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, and hearing from where? You can see, as Brahma, Lord Brahma says, you can see the Lord through the ears. And that is only possible when one comes in contact with the spiritual, bona fide spiritual master, and hears from the bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master then reveals, then his Thai Bhav and Siddhadeha are revealed to him when he becomes qualified by the bona fide spiritual master and the process of chanting. So these are the points. Are there any questions or comments? Then we will stop here. Sorry. So chanting is the process that the bona fide spiritual master engages you in. So when one starts chanting, so it is mentioned Krishna has got Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela. So one gets to know Krishna, the first thing that happens is by Nama. One comes in touch with the there is a deity forms of the Lord, but we are all not qualified to go and touch the deity or to serve the deities directly, right? Even though if we get Brahman initiation, still when we go into the altar, we are not qualified to experience the relationship with the deities. So the first thing that one comes in contact with the Lord is through Naam. Because this Naam, Namakari, Bahudha, Nijas, Sarva Saktis, everything has been put, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells in Sikshastikam, in this holy name, there is all the potency, everything has been given. So one comes in contact with the Lord through Naam first. And when one chants the name of the Lord, it is non-different than the Lord is present on his tongue. So first he comes in contact with the Lord through Naam. So there are three stages of Naam. One is Naam Aparat, then Naam Abhas and Suddha Naam. So when one rises from Naam Aparat to Naam Abhas, he gets a glimpse into the Rupa, Guna of the Lord. He gets a glimpse. Sometimes he sees the Lord while chanting. He sometimes experiences the qualities of the Lord. And when one comes to Suddha Naam, he can enter into the pastimes of the Lord. That is at the Bhava stage. He can participate, even though there are Siddhadeha and there is Thai Bhav. So every living entity has God is, even though whoever is a impersonal or a personal or a atheist, even though somebody says I am a non-devotee, I don't believe in God, he also has got a, originally is Krishna conscious, but just because of lifetimes after lifetimes into this material world, he's been conditioned to think, because of his envy to the Lord is so strong that he thinks he does not believe in God. But originally everybody, Srila Prabhupada mentions, there is a famous tape where Srila Prabhupada says, originally everybody is Krishna conscious. So originally we all have our Siddhadeha in the spiritual world. But the Siddhadeha we cannot access while we are in material world. But there is a Sthayi Bhav which we can experience when we are in material world. The Sthayi Bhav we can experience when our chanting becomes pure, comes to Suddha Naam. We can enter into the pastimes of the Lord. We can experience the pastimes of the Lord, depending on what our Siddhadeha is or Sthayi Bhav is. So it is the chanting process which reveals us the Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela of the Lord. And that comes through the mercy of the spiritual master and the Lord himself. So without the mercy of the spiritual master, you cannot even chant. So the first initiation that we get from the spiritual master, what is that called? Harinam. So Nam initiation. So that is when the spiritual master chants on the bead and gives us the potency to chant, makes us qualified to chant. Not that we can, if we chant without initiation, it's not going to make any difference. No, it is there. But when you are in the disciplic succession, when you are connected, it's like you are connected to the powerhouse directly. On a battery, your laptop can run for certain time, right? But it will need to be connected to the powerhouse at some point. So we can chant, that's no problem. Without initiation, we'll make advancement, because it is any endeavor on this path. Neya bikrama nasvasti pratyavayana vidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayato mahatubhayat. Any endeavor on this path, even a small step in this endeavor, will save us from the biggest danger. Automatically, when we are sincere, when we are chanting, Lord arranges so that we come in contact with the spiritual master. And when that happens, when we come in contact with the spiritual master, it's like connecting to the powerhouse. We have got unlimited access, unlimited internet access, full bandwidth, broadband, fiber optic networks. So then we can access the mercy of the Lord directly. And then when you are chanting, you can access into the Nama, Rupa, Leela, Guna, and then Leela of the Lord. And that is how one progresses into his spiritual life. But as Srila Rupa Goswami is mentioning, the five first points, one has to approach, one has to serve, one has to follow the instructions of the spiritual master with full faith and devotion. This is the most important. One should not doubt the path. One should not be envious. So it is mentioned, Srimad Bhagavatam is for the Nirmat Saranam. So people who are non-envious, they can access this knowledge, and it reveals, Srimad Bhagavatam is none different than the Lord himself. It reveals to you the knowledge. It reveals to you who Krishna is. It reveals to you the pastimes of the Lord. So the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam, are the mercy that we get from the spiritual master and the Lord. Sorry, Prabhu, I'm not sure if that answered the question. Yes, Prabhu.
Oh, you said we should not have envious and doubt in this process, but if you see the new five people when they come, they have got so many doubts and questions, and sometimes they don't accept the process. So what is the hope for them? Because some may, they can, you know, most of them, they just go away. Because they have got their own thoughts and their own things to do, so, you know, so what's hope for them?
Yeah, so the question is, there are so many people who come to temple and you try to convince them, but most of them don't take it, and some of them take the process. So, and they've got a lot of doubts. So how can, more than doubts, it's more ignorance. So it's not the doubts which stop them from coming to Krishna consciousness. It's the ignorance which stops them. Because the first thing that we also came into this material world was for avidya, ignorance. And some people did not, the conditioning is so strong that it is very difficult for them to bring out of the ignorance. So what is the hope for them? So the devotional, one of the qualities of devotion, characteristics of devotional service, bhakti, is it is sudurlava. It is like very rare. When you take a diamond and go into the street and you say, who wants to buy this diamond? Not everyone has got the qualification to buy the diamond. So only few people from the crowd, from 100 people, if you take a big Kohinoor diamond or some very precious diamond, right? Not everyone will be able to buy it, or it will be able to. There's a story there, right? The disciple was sent with a diamond and to different people, and then only if the person who knows the value of the diamond can judge the diamond and say, okay, I'll pay you this much and take the diamond. But most of the people will just use it for some material benefits. So that is why it is mentioned in the beginning of the class, it was mentioned, one who uses Vedas or devotional, not the devotional, but religion, dharma, it is mainly for artha, kama and moksha. So Vedas deal with these four things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, but that does not give you bhakti. So most of the people are not ready, but by the process of sankirtan and prasadam distribution, these are the two processes which are very powerful actually. It can convert people and it can break the barriers of ignorance. So that is why this was initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that there is no hope for the people of Kali Yuga. So he gave the easiest process which they can. So when they hear the Maha Mantra constantly, if somehow or other they come and take prasadam in the temple or Crossways or Gopals,
right? When they are constantly hearing, when you go on to Harinam, they're hearing day in, day out, they become purified, their heart become purified. So this is the process of hearing, as even Lord Brahma is saying, by through the ears, Lord enters into their heart and purifies the heart. And when their heart is purified, automatically they will accept. So we see many people who come for years to Crossways, Gopals, or even in temple, they don't take, but at some point they just pick it up. They just pick it up, the process, and it is easy for them to pick up then. Some people, even in past life, they must have done. They just come and just eat prasadam once and come to temple and just pick it up. They are just devotees, like you see them, like they join ashram straight away.
Right.
So they must have done all these things in the previous life. So this is the way. You just give them prasadam. You don't have to have any envy or criticism towards that, because we were in the same boat before. Right? So devotees have to be compassionate. This is the quality of a devotee. He is always compassionate. And I've seen advanced devotees who are in our movement, like even when they have been criticized, they don't show any grudge or enviousness towards the other person. They are still looking good into that person. So it really shakes us, like how to see the opposite person. And this is the qualification now that we, in this verse we are seeing, Vidyavinaya Sampanna Brahmana Gavyasthini. So this verse we are seeing how Kardama Muni had developed that vision. He was seeing Paramatma in each and every living entity. So this is the platform that we have to come to. Not artificially, but at least we should practice. We should, as devotees, we have to be on the Madhyam level. We have to not associate with the people who are envious. Associate with people who are equal, and then give compassion to the people who are ignorant. But still, at least we should not criticize as much as possible. So this is a very important point. Nirmat Saranam. We should not be envious to anyone. Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.